Before I do the reading from Ephesians, we've gone back and forth between Ephesians and other things, but this particular part of it is dedicated to understanding that we are one body. And that's a new teaching in the time of Paul. Because remember, Paul is a Jew. We have to remember these people we read every week were Jews. They were not Christians. They were Jews. Okay? That's important. We tend to forget that. If I were to read, for example, this gospel passage and not give you a little bit of background, you would think this is just another list of all the things that we should be doing and all the things we should feel guilty about because we don't do, and somehow we're failing as Christian people, and they can't really be called faithful at all, which is how most of us read Paul. However, put it in its context. Now, explanation about the cover. Lorem ipsum are the first two words that begin a useless jumble of words that mean absolutely nothing. It started in the 1500s. As part of the printing process. So when somebody was doing, let's say you're a printer and somebody comes in and says, I would like to have this article put in on the front page of the paper this week, accompanied by this particular photograph. Lorem ipsum is that dead space. That means absolutely nothing, even though it has words in it. It means nothing, but it is there to mark off the space where your article that you want on the front page is going to appear, so that when you look at the full copy of the front page, you can see exactly where your article is going to be, how big it's going to be, how wide, etc. Okay? Now, in our computer age, lorem ipsum still exists, because if you go on to Microsoft, or you go use the Apple system, when you go into printing or creating bulletins or newsletters or brochures, those kinds of things, lots of times, in fact, you'll see, they will give you an outline. It'll be a picture of a whole newsletter, and it'll have blocks, sections off. There'll be a picture here and some Latin gibberish here, and there'll be something else over here and something over here to show you what the layout is going to be. And many of them will be contained the words lorem ipsum, which just means nothing. It means nothing. Okay? It's a blank square or rectangle or vertical column. That's all it is. Now, why is that important? Just so I could tell you how much I know about printing. No, that's not the point. The point is to understand Paul this morning. You need to understand that when he was writing this, when he was speaking this, however, he wrote this as a letter to the Jewish community at Ephesus. Understand that the Jewish community at Ephesus was not the Christian church. By the time Paul had died, the church had not become a separate entity. There was no Christianity. These were all Jewish people they were Jews for Jesus, basically. You heard of them a number of years back. There was a whole thing, Jews for Jesus. Everybody thought, oh, my God, there's something strange going on here. The Jews are starting to believe in Jesus. Well, no, they always did. There were always Jews who believed that Jesus was the person who fulfilled the eternal promises of the whole Old Testament, the prophets and the law, that he fulfilled that and therefore was the long-awaited Messiah. And so the early church community, what we call the early church community, the first century, first part of the first century church, were Jews, who were Jews for Jesus, who were still part of the Jewish system. They hadn't left Judaism. They were a small faction trying to do something within Judaism to bring Judaism up to date in their minds, okay? Jesus was one of those people. He was a Jew. He wasn't a Christian. He didn't ever intend to start Christianity. He was a Jewish man, part of the Jews waiting for the Messiah, who came across and said, you know, I think something's happening here. And some of them believed and followed him. We call them the disciples. And some went on to go out of the places to teach it, and we call those apostles. And that's how the church kind of eventually split off from Judaism. So Paul is writing to this Jewish community. You got the Jews for Jesus sitting over here. And then you have the Gentile community. Now, the Gentile community, remember, in their minds, were pagans. I mean, they had their multiple gods, and they had, well, you look at Rome, you have all these statues, all the gods, and they believed that the gods were somehow interacting with life, and to the best of their ability, they merged what they saw in the atmosphere and what they saw in everyday human life and kind of came up with an experience of God. And so they had lots of different experiences of God. But they had no foundation. There was no solid teaching. So they have no background at all in terms of a religion. They went to the temple when they wanted to, and it was for whatever they wanted, but that's all they did. There was no organization around it. Okay? So Paul is writing to now these Gentiles who are living side by side with these Jews for Jesus people. And so when he writes the letter of Ephesus to the Ephesians, there's a lorem ipsum, which means there's a section in his writing that is going to seem like nonsense. It means nothing. And that's to the people who have Jewish background, because they already know this. This is nothing new to them. For example, they have a thing called Lashon Hara, which describes the word, the experience of the evil tongue. Paul's going to talk about the way we speak to each other, the way we behave with each other. They had all of that. That was so much a part of the fabric of their lives as Jews that his words were meaningless. This was nothing new. This was same old, same old. And if you read the book before, you'd turn the page. And so did they. But in the lorem ipsum, the Greek people, the Gentiles, were finding something very unique and special. Because even though they'd seen nice things, and even so they heard that it was okay to be nice to people, they also lived in a society where it was cutthroat, survival of the fittest. It was all the basic things and the basic human things that happen when push comes to shove and you happen to be under an oppressive thumb. And so everybody was scrambling for themselves. There was no community. There was no call to be community. It was all individuals fighting their way through, okay? Now, if you hear this from Jewish ears, you're going to say, oh, yeah, I know that. Just as we would hear this, unless I told you this, you would listen to this, and as I said, you'd hear the same old Christian thing and say, yeah, I know, and I don't live up to that, and so I'm really screwing up. But to people who have had no background, to people who have no direction, and let me pause here and put a parenthesis, to the many young people who have no foundation in religion today, and when we're talking about establishing values, this would speak to them. Nonsense to those of us who already know it, but earth-shaking to somebody who has never heard it. Okay? You ready? Now you're going to be disappointed because it's not that big. It's not that big a deal, but it proves the point. Okay, this is Paul, excuse me, writing to the Gentiles and the Jews for Jesus people. Clothe yourselves with the new self. Be renewed in your spirit and your mind, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So then, put away falsehood. Let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful in building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear you. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Now, one of the things that happens after these Gentiles hear this is they begin to identify more with the group. And historically, the group gets a little bit larger and community is formed. And they start realizing that what God is talking about is that we live together in such a way, not because there's a law, and he didn't say there's a law, not because it's required, it doesn't say it's required, but because God has been for us, so we are for each other. It's very simple. You notice in here there's nothing about church, there's nothing about going to church, there's nothing about reading the Bible, there's none of that. The very simple human experience of being for others exactly what you would have them be for you. Only the onus is on us. Now, like all new people in religion that get this message, there's kind of fervor that lights. And so people jump in, and I can only think of an illustration of an alcoholic, a man who was in AA for a number of years and struggled year after year after year to maintain his sobriety. And then one day, he answered a call. He went to a church and made answer to an altar call to come forward and be identified as a person of faith. And once he did that, all of a sudden his attitude changed. And he started to live his life as if every minute and every second of every day somehow determined whether or not he would remain sober. And that translated for him into doing not only the 9 steps, but going beyond that and beginning to realize how important he was in the world he walked around in, because he had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to do what he had never done before, to care about somebody, to touch somebody's life and make a difference, to somehow make it easier for the next guy. And that's a great story, but you know what happens, even in that case, is after a while you start looking at becoming really good at this. And I know if you grew up the way I did, that there was an achievable goal in being perfect. You really could be perfect. You could be a perfect Christian. I mean, you could never say anything bad about anybody. You can never even have a thought, a bad thought about anybody. You never even dream of violating somebody's rights. You never thought of taking the first place. You always took the last. Humility was a big major thing, being comfortable with yourself, but also being able to be for other people what you always thought God wanted you to be for them. And so your prayer becomes about your weakness. So if your weakness happens to be patience, so you pray to God for patience. And you pray to God for patience. My mother used to pray to God for patience our whole life. She never quite got there, but she was good. And there are people who pray for sobriety, and they get there, and sometimes they fall back, but they get there, and there's a goal. And there are people who want to be more understanding of other people. Help me not to be prejudiced. Help me to be less judgmental about the world around me. Help me do this, help me do that, help me be happy, help me find peace, heal me, etc. That's where our prayer goes, because when you think that you can achieve the goal of perfection, then all you have to worry about is your weakness. And that's the downfall of most Christianity. I'm going to give you an illustration. This is part of the legend of Paderewski, the great pianist. Heard of Paderewski? He's part of our generation, so you probably know him. This is legendary, and it's never been in biographies. They've never uncovered it as being true. However, it's a good story for a guy like me on a Sunday like this. Paderewski was giving a concert at Carnegie Hall. And one night when he was doing his concert, of course, that was all black tie tails and full-length gowns, etc. It was that kind of an affair back in the 1930s and 40s. And this one night, a mother and her five-year-old son came. She wanted him to see Paderewski and hear him because she thought he had talent with the piano. He was interested, and so she wanted to encourage it. And so they were sitting there, and the piano was up on the stage, and people are milling around and talking, etc., and the show hasn't begun. And so the mother started talking to the lady next to her, and next thing she knows, her son has left the seat, and he's up on the piano. And he's climbing up on the stool, and she sees it, nobody else does, and she doesn't know what to do. So he sits down at the piano and starts playing Chopsticks. And there's a gasp and a horrible feeling of negativity thrown at this kid on the stage who dares to play this grand piano Chopsticks before Paderewski. Well, Paderewski is off on the side, and he hears some people calling out names, get off the stage, you don't belong up there, that kind of stuff. And so he walked out, walked up behind the young man who was playing Chopsticks, and he reached around him with both hands and started playing a counter tune to go along with the Chopsticks, and turned into a concert, and everybody was cheering and screaming and thought it was wonderful. Excuse me. At one point, the little boy was feeling a little bit nervous, so he stopped, and he leaned over and said, "No, no, no, you keep going. You keep going. You'll get there. Keep going." And so he went back and played, and they played until they got the finale, and he took a bow with Paderewski, and everybody was wonderful. And that's a good illustration about praying for things as a Christian person. If you pray for something that you've been wanting all your life, and it doesn't happen, if you're like me, you end up giving up and just say, well, there's nobody there. By the way, read Family Circus in the paper today. It's wonderful. There's a little boy praying. It's wonderful. Another aside. But when you think there's nobody there, this little illustration is exactly what should happen. You need to hear that you may not get to where you want to get, but you know you're on the way. So keep going. You got God's arms around you, playing along with you, saying, yeah, you're not there yet, but just keep going. And you find out, eventually, when you look back, how far you have come from where you were when you started to where you are now at whatever age you are. And you're still in the process of praying the same darn thing, but you certainly have come a long way. Your journey has been shaped. Your personality has changed. Your vision has changed. Your perspective on life has changed. Your appreciation of yourself has changed. And you probably have discovered a few more gifts along the way. So if you find yourself discouraged in the prayer, know that standing right over you is a guy with his arms out saying, just keep going. You'll get there. And if you don't get there in this life, hopefully you'll get there in the next. Because it doesn't matter as long as you're in the process. And prayer keeps us in the process. So Lorem Ipsum, there's a blank space on our page, each one of us. And we decide whether it's going to mean anything or not by what we put in there as a text. We all have it. We all have that freedom. And I think we have the promise that God is with us, so something will happen. It's just a thought. Amen.